This morning we'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1, book of Mark, chapter 1, read verses 39 through verse 45, book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 39 through verse 45. And he, that is Jesus, preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them, that is, the priests. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Now, the Gospels record Christ healing people of leprosy twice during his ministry. Now, no doubt in some of the mass healings of Christ, lepers were cleansed. But there are two specific cases where it is mentioned that Jesus healed lepers. The first one, which is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we just read about, involved one leper and took place while Jesus was healing in Galilee as he was preaching in their synagogues. We see that in verse 39 of Mark chapter 1. The second, which we're all familiar with, involved 10 lepers. Took place much later than the miracle that we just read about, and it took place in Samaria and is only recorded by Luke, and we find that in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, and we'll not turn there today, but we will go there probably next week. But these two miracles, the healing of one leper, the healing of 10 lepers, reveal the amazing power, as all the healing miracles, reveals the amazing power of the Lord in meeting the needs of sinful man. Now, leprosy, of course, is not something that you and I are familiar with in our day. There are parts of the world where leprosy is still common, but leprosy was perhaps the most dreaded of all diseases. It was that which caused great horror in people. Not only did it cause great horror in people, because of the nature of the disease, it was disgusting. It caused disgust in people to see someone who was in the latter stages of leprosy. It was so severe and so common that God gave Moses very extensive instructions concerning leprosy, concerning the leper. And we see that in Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14, and I would encourage you to read those chapters. We're not going to for time's sake. But leprosy, as you read in Leviticus 13, started with a discoloration of the skin. So if an individual began to have a patch of discoloration, you can only imagine what would begin to go through their minds. They knew, or they would suspect, that this was the beginning of leprosy. Eventually, this discoloration would spread in all directions on the body, and spongy-like tumors would grow on the face, would grow throughout the body. And basically, leprosy is a rotting of the flesh, actually causing fingers and toes to decay to the extent where they would just fall off. So again, it was a very dreadful disease. And again, it was not very pleasant to look at. And we see the leper's voice in the latter stages would become very hoarse and raspy. Their eyes would become bloodshot, and their eyes would burn. Their noses would sink because of the decaying cartilage in their nose. Their tongues would become black. Their tongues would swell and become very, very ulcerated. So you see, leprosy was a disfiguring disease. It was a disease that would disfigure the human body and eventually, of course, would destroy the body, and the leper would die. But leprosy was a slow and painful death. A leper did not die a sudden death. A leper would die a very slow and a very painful death. And a leper would be very aware of what was happening to them. But perhaps the worst part of leprosy, especially mentally and emotionally, was that during the time of their suffering, during the time of their dire need, the leper would be excluded from everyone, be excluded from their families, would be excluded from their friends. They were disbarred. They were prohibited from worship, from entering into the tabernacle or later entering into the temple. They were disbarred and prohibited from all activities of society. And they were required to wear certain dress so that they could be identified, because you did not want to get near a leper because of the nature of the disease. It was very, very contagious, so the leper would have to be identified. And any time someone would begin to get close to a leper, the leper's responsibility was to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." And then people would know to stop or to back off, to stay away. So there they are. They are suffering tremendously. They obviously need help, though the help of man is not going to cure their leprosy. It was a disease that was incurable. And they were literally outcasts from society with no one to help. And there they are just waiting to die. Their death was certain unless God would intervene. Now, many people would say, well, that's absolutely cruel that you would separate a leper from society. But really, it's not. It's for the good of society. had they not been separated, leprosy would have spread even more than it did. But again, the idea that you get is the leper, without a doubt, was one of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. And you can't even begin to imagine the news, you're a leper. I mean, you could get news tomorrow that you have cancer, and that would be a dreadful thing. Or news that you have some other incurable disease, and that would be a dreadful thing. But you know that you can go home to your family and your friends, and they will be there to comfort you, to assist you. But imagine hearing the words, you have leprosy. Now you can't go home. Now you have to stay away from all your family, from all your friends. And again, anytime someone would get near you, you would have to announce, I'm unclean. So I want to look this morning here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the healing of this particular leper. I want to consider, first of all, the condition of this man. We've already, by looking at the nature of leprosy, we get some idea of his condition. But Matthew and Mark simply refer to the man as a leper. They don't tell us what stage this man was in as far as leprosy was concerned, that he was a leper. Perhaps he only had, which would lead you to believe that perhaps he only had one patch that of discoloration in his skin. But Luke, remember, Luke is the physician. And Luke gives us a little bit more detail concerning this man's condition. And I believe by Luke's account, we see that this man was in the latter stage of leprosy. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Again, this is another reason that if more than one gospel writer records an event, look at each one, because one will give details that perhaps the other will not. Luke, being a physician, looked at this leper a little more differently than Matthew and Mark. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. Covered his whole body. So this man, no doubt, not to be unkind, was really disgusting to look at. Very repulsive. He was in the latter stages. He was full of leprosy. That is, he was in the advanced stage of the disease. He was about to die. It would not be much longer, and this man would die. We see Jesus has been teaching or preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. He's also been, we are specifically told, that he was casting out demons as well. And then we read of the approach, that this leper approached Christ. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that this leper came to Christ. So this man who was full of leprosy, no doubt by this time, because again, leprosy is a slow death. And now he is full of leprosy, so no doubt by this time, this man has suffered immensely. He has suffered immensely physically. And since he is full of leprosy, he has now been an outcast, probably for several years. by this time. So here's a man who is suffering physically. No doubt he's suffering emotionally, mentally. Again, if you're an outcast for several years, you're going to have some mental problems. You're going to have some emotional issues. And no doubt this leper had these. But this leper, in coming to Christ, I believe exhibits some characteristics that provide some insight unto how Jesus Christ is to be approached. There is a certain way to approach Jesus Christ. Notice in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Notice what it says, who seeing Jesus. It tells us a couple of things. First of all, he knew who Jesus was. Who seeing Jesus. Somehow, he knew who Jesus was. Being full of leprosy, his situation appeared to be hopeless. His situation appeared to be impossible, and each passing day only added to the hopelessness and only added to the impossibility that he would get better. So his case was very, very desperate. But we see here, seeing Jesus. And as you read on, by seeing Jesus, hope was aroused in this man. He now, perhaps for the first time since he had leprosy, hope is aroused in him. Where did this hope come from? Simply in seeing Jesus. We need to see Jesus. We need to see him. We, of course, today do not see him by physical sight, but we do see him by faith. And we need to see him, because anytime we see Jesus, there's hope. No matter how desperate it is, and it couldn't get much more desperate than what we have here. Seeing Jesus arouses hope. The next thing, he saw Jesus. The next thing is, he approached Christ. When he saw Jesus, he was now determined to reach him. Despite whatever else might have been going on at that time, this leper now was determined to reach Jesus Christ. And no doubt to come to Christ, perhaps there were other people in the vicinity. We don't know. I'm sure there was. Jesus Christ was preaching in the synagogues and healing. So I'm sure there were many other people. So it would be quite a challenge for this leper to approach Christ. There would be many hindrances that would have to be overcome for this leper to approach Christ. But he's desperate. He's desperate for a cure. And he comes. And notice how he came. Notice in Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8, in verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. And worshipped him. Mark says, in Mark chapter 1, in verse 40, that he came kneeling down to him.
And while he was kneeling in front of Christ, what was he doing?
Well, according to Matthew, he was worshiping.
Luke tells us in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 that he fell on his face. But again, Matthew says he worshiped. So here comes this man. He has seen Christ. He makes all diligence to approach Christ. And when he gets near to Christ, he falls on his face, or he kneels down to him. And what this shows is the reverence and humility that this man had for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must always be approached with reverence and humility. It's the only way we can approach Jesus Christ. He also approached Christ with a very passionate heart. And I picture him, he's still kneeling. He's still kneeling in front of Christ. And Mark says in Mark 1 and verse 40, there came a leper unto him, beseeching him. And Luke says in Luke 5 and verse 12, and seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him. So he's pleading. He's begging. This leper who has suffered so much, no doubt who is in excruciating pain, he sees Christ. Hope is aroused in him. He approaches Christ. He falls down on his face. He falls down on his knees, and he begins to beg the Lord. He begins to plead with the Lord that God would heal him. Here was a man who desperately wanted a cure. And when you get desperate enough, you will approach the Lord. Even lost man who wants nothing to do with God, when times get desperate enough, they ask for prayer. And they themselves, in their own way, might cry out to God. It's sad that people have to get so desperate before they come to Christ. But I believe anyone desperate enough will either request prayer. How many times people who would not darken the door of Home Baptist Church put me on the prayer list? They sure won't be here. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for them. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just showing you my point is desperation. Put me on your prayer list. Some may consider that as a good luck charm. I don't know. But I believe it's simply an act of desperation. We've tried everything. Now, that hasn't worked, so maybe we better think about praying. But this man approached Christ with passion. He also approached Christ with a submissiveness to the will of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record, all three of them say that this leper said, "If thou wilt, if thou wilt." He did not come making any demands. He did not come demanding a healing as though it was owed to him. There he is on his knees, and he says, "Lord, if you would, if thou wilt, if it is in your will." And by doing that, I believe this leper came submitting to the will of Christ. Now, many may believe differently, but when he said, "If thou wilt," I believe that this man was so submissive to the will of Christ that if Christ would have said no, he'd have been fine with that. Disappointed, perhaps, but
that would have been okay, because he was seeking the Lord's will.
And when we come to the Lord, that's what we're to do.
We're to seek God's will. And whatever God's will is, you and I need to be okay with that. Now, no doubt, we have preferences. Yes, we would prefer the Lord's healing hand. But if God says no, we need to be okay with that. We need to submit to that. So he approached Christ with submissiveness, with a spirit of submissiveness to his will. And we've run out of time, so we'll stop there. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer.